Hey friends, this is Heidi St. John. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Tuesday, July 27th, and today I'm going to take some time to answer listener questions. You guys, I hope you enjoyed very much my interview with my friend, Dr. Kathy Cook, last week, and then with Bill Jack yesterday. And so it's been a little bit of time since I answered your questions, and so today we're going to get to it. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. By now, you've heard that I'm running for Congress to replace Jamie Herrera Butler, representing Washington State's 3rd Congressional District. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a business owner, I'm an author and a speaker, and I've lived in this district for a very long time. And I am asking you for the honor to represent you in the House of Representatives. We've got some huge deadlines coming up for fundraising. We need to take this country back. We were once the party of ideas, you guys, but we have devolved into a cult of personality, and we have lost our way. I want to bring common sense back to the floor of the House of Representatives. Now is the time for a new generation of conservative leaders to stand up, and I am here to stand in the gap for Washington State. For more information, go to HeidiSt.JohnForCongress.com. You can sign up to volunteer, get on our prayer team, and support this run financially. This ad was paid for by friends of Heidi St. John for Congress. So thanks for tuning in today, you guys. I'm so glad that you've joined me here at my little corner of the internet. Before I get started, I'm going to address something that happened here in my area a couple of days ago. Last Friday, Sheriff's Deputy Jeremy Brown was shot and killed in the line of duty. And my heart is grieving about what's happening here in my county. Many of you have heard that the legislators, the elected officials, have enacted dangerous and even devastating legislation here with regard to the police and what they can and cannot do. That went into effect on Sunday. And so we are rapidly moving toward chaos here in the Pacific Northwest. And events like this are a tragic reminder, really, that every day our law enforcement officers are putting their lives at risk to protect the public from evil. And unfortunately, there are going to be forces and organizations, including the NAACP right out of Vancouver, Washington, that are using this killing to further their narrative against the police. And you guys, now more than ever, we must stand and support them and the work that they do for our communities. And it's important. Now more than ever, it's crucial that we let our law enforcement officers know that they are loved and appreciated. And I'm going to lean into my faith in the Lord. And as I wrote in a letter to the public the other day, I have found no lasting comfort like the comfort that comes from Jesus, because he has held so many of us when we have seen our worst days and has taught us how to use that same comfort to comfort one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 declares, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." And I'm going to continue to pray for the God of all comfort to be especially near to the family of Deputy Brown, and also to our community and to the communities around the country who I know are suffering from the same tyranny that we are facing here in Washington State. And I also want to encourage you, you know, there's a lot of rumor, you know, I keep saying it's the rumor weed, right? The rumor and innuendo that's out in the culture right now. And we've got to remember that we don't wrestle a flesh and blood enemy. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And certainly we're seeing that here in Washington State, and particularly feeling it right now in Clark County, Washington. But just know that you guys are on my heart, and I'm praying for you. And I'm going to continue to do that. And we're going to continue to raise those issues. And in fact, you can go ahead and listen today. I haven't done a new America's Town Hall for a little while, but I have a ton of questions in the hopper. And so those are going to be up today at America's Town Hall. But I want to encourage you guys, don't give up. And please, you guys, keep your eyes on the elections that are happening locally where you are right now. Find out who is running for city council and school board and mayor and all the things. You know, there's a tremendous amount of attention being given to runs like mine, to races like mine, which won't happen until 2022. And these are important races, but in some respects, I feel like it's doing our communities harm because we're treating this one that's coming up in 2021 as if it's just it doesn't matter. Oh, it's just a small one. But the truth of the matter is these small elections, what you guys might think of, or I might call a smaller election, they actually have more input, more direct input on your day-to-day life. And so it absolutely matters that we pay attention to them. So I want to encourage you to do that. I wanted to give some thoughts out today also from questions that I'm getting. I so appreciate your questions that are coming in right now. You can reach out to me at HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. Keep those questions coming. Keep them short and sweet and to the point, and we will get to them at the podcast. Also want to say thank you to those of you who are recurring donors here at the Heidi St. John podcast. Your financial support is how we stay on the air. And so I want to just give you a shout out and say thank you so much. Every time those come in, we're reminded again just how grateful we are for your encouragement. And we want to just say, please keep them coming because it absolutely matters. All right, here, I'm going to jump right in. I've got probably 15 questions in front of me. I'm not going to be able to get to them today. And so I will continue this conversation tomorrow. Heidi, what are your thoughts on public schools allowing teachers to hang LGBTQ and BLM signs in classrooms? We called to have them removed, but found out that they just put them back up 2 weeks later. P.S. Due to COVID, parents are not allowed in the building. Well, that's a strange coinkydink, isn't it? They're going to put up all these posters and propaganda for the disgusting organization that is Black Lives Matter and also LGBTQ propaganda. And they're not going to listen to you because as I've been talking now for several years, and you heard Bill Jack say it yesterday, this is part of an attempt to hijack the language and hijack the narrative. And the only way this stops is for parents to stand up and say, bummer for you guys, I'm pulling my kids out of your school. That's literally the money is the only thing that's going to move the needle on this thing. And so I keep telling parents, I mean, this is a Marxist takeover, right? And they're going to try to turn us against each other by using the language of love is love. And, you know, there's so much wickedness in the culture right now that if we sit and focus on it, we can be overwhelmed. So I would rather give you guys things to do and things to pray about. So the thing to pray about this really is that the eyes of the administrators in these schools would be opened to the fact that the schools have so far strayed from their initial record was. And you guys have heard Alex Newman been on the show with me today, and I'm going to go ahead and try to re-air that because it was just so good. But to say, you know, go back and look at what the initial intent of the public schools was. And you might be very surprised to find that they're doing exactly what they were designed to do. It's just that now we've been in it for a really long time. And so my thoughts on the public schools is, of course, that this is what they're going to do. This is the agenda. The schools have been taken over by activists and teacher activists. And we see this all over the place. This is why critical race theory. This is why comprehensive sex education, why I've been fighting it so hard in the legislature here. And of course, the parents aren't allowed in the building because the Rona might get you. Did you guys see the news came out a couple of days ago that the PCR test, they're admitting, never really could tell the difference between the flu and COVID? Because we were all shaking our head going, how come everybody's testing positive for COVID? Oh, I know, because the test was testing you for the flu and for the Rona. You guys, this is garbage. It's garbage for 100 different reasons, and it's not going to stop until we stand up, and it's not going to stop until we begin to really pray. We've started something, by the way, here in Clark County, and you guys pray along with this. So my friend Ray Reynolds, you guys have heard him on my show before, wonderful, wonderful man. He's running for sheriff in 2022 here in Clark County. And last Tuesday, it was just on my heart that something heavy was coming, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. And I know that Ray is a man of God. And my friends, Leah and Jeff Anaya, Jeff serves on the Vancouver Police Department. And I called those guys and said, hey, could we get together to pray? Because my heart is burdened. Well, Ray's like, oh, my word, sister, you know, my heart is burdened too. You guys, listen for that. When your heart is burdened, stop what you're doing and pray. So on Tuesday, we began to figure out when we could pray. We decided Thursday was the best night to do it. So we got together and we just sat around in my living room and we prayed. And then Friday, the officer was killed in Vancouver. And it was like the Lord was saying, it's time. It's time. There have been, like, the forces of hell have literally been unleashed in this area. And we're feeling it acutely. And I know many of you are feeling it across the country. But we didn't know, obviously, that this was going to happen with this deputy. But we knew that something was happening. And so we had already committed to praying on Saturday. We were going to put out a call in the morning on Saturday. And then Friday night, the call came in. This officer had been killed. And so we changed a little bit to a vigil and just crying out for unity and for healing. First for the family of Officer Jeremy Brown, but then also for Clark County, that what Satan means for evil, God would use it for good. But my point is, and hundreds of people came out. It was really encouraging to see. But my point is, this is where the power is. When you talk about what's happening in the public schools, we need to be praying about this. And I think prayer is a labor, you guys, and we're not used to it. We're not used to how much work and how much spiritual energy goes into spending time with the Lord. And I would throw myself into that category, right? Most of us are doers. I was reading, in fact, let me find it. This is how come I never get through your questions, you guys, because you say things, I'm like, oh, and another thing. And then what about this? I was reading this morning about just God's incredible power. And the Israelites up against the Moabites. This is out of 2 Kings chapter 3. The Israelites were up against the Moabites, and really everything was stacked against them. You know, in the natural, nothing was going to work. And this is what the Lord said. For thus said the Lord, because they're trying to figure out what to do. And God was like, you know, build ditches. Build ditches between the Moabite army and your army. And then he said, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley will be filled with water so that you, your cattle, and your animals would drink. And then he goes on to say, this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Now, this is so interesting because, well, there's several things that stood out to me. First of all, he was saying, this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. And the fact that they were up against this massive army, the Moabites, that was a PS to the Lord. Do you see that? He's like, I'm going to give your cattle and your animals and you guys water because I'm going to fill the ditches that you've dug with water. And you're not even going to see rain, but I'm going to fill the valley with water. And if this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. Oh, and P.S., I'm also going to deliver the Moabites into your hand. Guys, nothing is too hard for the Lord. A little bit farther down in that passage, it says, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but he could not. And then he took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. And so they departed from him and returned to their own. Wow. There are so many parallels that I can draw from what God's showing me in his word right now. But God is saying two things for sure. Nothing is too hard for him. These are simple matters in the sight of the Lord. What he is looking for is a broken and a contrite heart. That's what he's looking for in his people. And for so long, that's not what he's been getting. And now our schools are overrun. Our social media is overrun. Our media in and of itself is overrun by wickedness. Our medical establishment. Who of you is ever going to trust the CDC again? Now they want you to get a vaccine. For a test, you said I tested positive for the Rona. You don't know. You could have just had the flu. I mean, something is terribly wrong. And the Bible is teaching us over and over and over again that nothing is too hard for God. These are simple matters in the sight of the Lord. David cries out to God over and over and over again, and God answers his prayer. The Bible says that he chose David from the sheepfolds. From tending the sheep that had young. God wants to use unlikely people to accomplish his purposes. And I know that there are a lot of you like me who feel kind of like I'm the unlikely person. And God wants to use you. And God wants to use you to speak truth in the public school system. And God wants to use you to speak truth online. He wants to use you. Private school in Chattanooga is requiring the vaccine for admission. Garbage. Oh my word, you guys. How can parents of private school children know about the curriculum in private schools? Just because it's private doesn't always mean it's better. Okay, so Sarah, you're absolutely right. There are lots and lots of so-called Christian schools right now that are not only mandating the vaccine for admission, but they're going to require you guys to wear masks. I'm I'm bewildered at the stupidity of people who are continuing to go, oh, seems like a good idea to me. We lack discernment. Why? Because discernment comes from God. True discernment comes from God. And there is a blind, deaf, and dumb spirit at loose in the culture right now. And we got to wake up. So first of all, if any school is requiring a vaccine for kids, you guys, oh my word, I'd be like, oh no, no, no. Nope, not doing that. And if you want to find out what the curriculum is, you simply need to ask. If you are paying to have your children in a private Christian school and they won't show you the curriculum, that should be a huge red flag. Absolutely huge red flag. I think we've forgotten that the kids belong to us and not to the school. Next question. I'm a 10-year public educator who also has two young boys. I'm choosing to homeschool next year, but struggling with the fact that strong Christian teachers are needed. What advice do you have? This is an excellent question. If you are a mother or a dad and your kids are in the public school and you were in there as you're teaching in the public schools or whatever, and you pull your kids out and the only way for you to do that was to stay home with your kids, your responsibility is to your children first, right? We learned this from the airlines, right? The airlines. Don't even get me started on the airlines right now. But we learned this from the airlines, right? In the unlikely event of a loss of cabin pressure, you know, masks from the ceiling are going to drop down and secure your mask before assisting children, right? Because they know that if the parent passes out, the kid is a goner by default. Your first responsibility is to obey God for the direction of your children. As far as Christian teachers in the schools, we absolutely need them. And we do not just need Christian teachers in the school. We need courageous Christian teachers in the schools. We don't need these milquetoast Christians who are like, oh, I guess that's okay. You know, I go to church on Sunday. You know, we don't need that anymore. Because we are at war with a culture that is hell-bent, I promise you, on taking no prisoners. And so if you are considering, you know, you take care of your children first. And then if you know people who are in a position in their life where they can teach in the schools, maybe somebody who was thinking about retiring or someone who was going to come out of retirement to get back in the schools are ground zero for the hostile takeover of the nation, by the way, absolutely ground zero. And so we need Christian teachers in these schools more than ever, but do not sacrifice your children on the altar of, you know, making sure that you have a voice in the public schools. Next question. Most of my friends who choose public schools, also Christians, say that their kids need to be in school to be salt and light. Do you think this is true? No, I don't. Your kids cannot be salt until they have salt. Your kids are not called to be salt and light when they're children. They're called to be, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. By the way, that is a proverb and not a promise. We've talked about this before, but it's a principle. It's a generality. And the Bible's teaching us that our responsibility is to train up our children when we rise up and when we lie down and when we walk along the road. And that absolutely needs to happen. And so when you know, when people talk to me about salt and light, I think this is such a faulty argument. It's why we've lost so many of our kids to the education system, because parents, and frankly, I think, and I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but I will go so far as to say these are parents who are looking for an excuse to not have to do the hard work of parenting their own children and educating them. I can feel the tomatoes coming at me from across the fence, but that's how I feel about it. Your kids are not, they are not equipped. You're supposed to be teaching them to armor up, teaching them to be discerning, teaching them, hey kids, you know, the Bible says that we have an adversary as a prowling lion, and he's roaming around looking for someone to devour. Kids, you, that smell that's in the air right now, that's the adversary. That's the lion. By the way, like a roaring lion, he isn't one. The devil cannot create, he can only imitate. You guys should keep that in mind. But we're called to teach our children, and we don't release them to the front lines until they're ready for the front lines. And I'm going to say it again for the thousandth time. The public schools are the front lines. Our public universities, our public grade schools, our public high schools, our public middle schools. This is where the battle is being fought. And if your kids are not absolutely ready for it, don't stick them in there. And I would say 99.9% of them aren't ready. And we're losing them. We're losing them to bad thinking. We're losing them to faulty ideology. We're losing them to wickedness and to the culture. This should matter. It should absolutely matter. Really quickly, I'm one more question. I'm going to be over time. These are all about schools today. Our local school board member refuses to respond to requests to talk. What is your recourse? Once you have requested a discussion with your school board and they're not addressing it, that's when I would go public. I would say, hey, I've reached out to, you know, Peter over here, and I've asked him to have coffee with me. I'd like to come to his office and talk to him about his position for things on school board, and he's not answering my questions. He's supposed to represent you as a parent, and now I'm asking other parents, can you also call Peter and see if you can get a meeting with him, because I have been unable. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we're not used to this. It feels confrontational. And it can become confrontational. But you know what? These guys should never run from the questions of their constituents. And really, this, you are in the constituency, if you're in the school district, of this school board member. And they always should be willing to talk to you. They should always be willing to do that. And so that's my strong encouragement. I would take it public. I would continue to call. I would call other school board members. I would go to the meetings. I'd hand them a note, say, hey, my name's so-and-so. I've been trying to get a meeting with you. Just thought it'd be good to put a face with my name. When can we put it on the calendar? I brought my calendar right here. I can tell you when's good for me. Keep after it, because these school board positions are critically, critically important. All right. That's all I have time for today. I appreciate so much you guys listening and for the great feedback I'm getting on the interview I did last week with my friend, Dr. Kathy Cook, and also with Bill Jack. I would love to hear your ideas for guests going forward. We've got a great lineup coming up in the next couple of months. Lots of really cool things happening. Don't forget to listen to America's Town Hall. That is my podcast where I am addressing questions from listeners, particularly with regard to political matters that are happening around the United States and in the 3rd Congressional District here in Washington State. But I'm also going to be taking a little bit of time to address some of the rumors. The rumor weed is growing really fast and strong here in CD3 because there are wicked people that like to spread lies. And the Bible talks about this. So it's not a surprise. And I'm actually having some fun with it because it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole. So lots of really good things going on. You guys can see my schedule over at America's Town Hall. And I will see you over there today and then right back here again tomorrow at the intersection of faith and culture. For more encouragement, visit me online at momstronginternational.com.